morning, Catalyst. It is good to be back live with you this weekend, and I want to thank everybody that prayed for me last week, definitely under the weather, and so I preached Saturday night last week, came in, preached Sunday morning at 8:20, and between the service, apparently, I went in the back and fell asleep, and my staff were like, "You look horrible, you should go home and go to bed," and I agreed, and I went into the doctor on Monday, got blood work, and discovered that I have stage 4 mono. And so that's kind of where the energy is and everything like that. So I feel like a battery on 10% today, but I am filled with Red Bull and the Holy Spirit. And and so this sermon is brought to you by Red Bull, all right? And I get no free Red Bull for saying that at all. But we are starting a new teaching series this weekend. I'm really excited about it. I didn't want to miss it, and it's called Unhurried. Everybody say Unhurried. And so how many of you would say this? How many of you would say that you feel like the pace of your life is hurried? You don't have to raise your hand or anything like that, but you feel hurried in life. And I think the standard answer for pretty much any question you ask anybody these days is I'm busy. Like, how are you doing? I'm busy. How's your family? Oh, we're so busy. What's going on in your life? Wow, we are so busy. And it's just kind of like we've put life in overdrive. And both externally and internally, I think we feel this tension, not just in our schedules, but we feel it even in our souls. And so we're starting the new year off and 2020, and so many people are really kind of refreshing their dreams and sharpening their visions and kind of laying out their goals and their resolutions and trying to figure out how to make 2020 the most productive and the best year yet, and how do we level up and go to the next space. But what I want us to do over the next couple of weeks is I want us to ask some more important questions. I want us to ask something that a counselor and a mentor asked me about 5 years ago when I was going through burnout in my life, and he asked me this question. He said, is the life that you're living, is it three things? Is it healthy? Is it joyful? And is it sustainable? And think about that. That impacted me so much. Is the life that you're living today, is it healthy? Is it joyful? Is it sustainable? Because I believe that so many people today are living life in overdrive, and overdrive always leads to overload. And overload always leads to being overwhelmed. And we're such a busy society, and whether you're a parent or a student, I mean, we got classes and kids and sports and things that we got to do and task lists that we got to complete and emails that we want to get to zero and more time at the office and less time at the house. We've got things to buy and bills to pay and not enough money to pay them. We need to get away. And when we're away, we need to get back because we just got to get it done. And the pace of life and the speed of life has gotten faster and faster and faster. And over this past month, I've just kind of been prepping for this series. And I discovered this statistic that people today sleep on average 2.5 hours less every night than they did 100 years ago. So we sleep less, we work more. There's a time, even in my own generation, there's a time whenever people actually went to work and then they went home. And so there was this clock and they clocked in, and then at the end of the day, they would clock out. And there was even a song written about it called 9 to 5. I remember the song. There was a movie, all right, Dolly Parton, 9 to 5. And you had these two distinct lives. You had a work life and then you had a home life. But then 2007, something happened that radically changed the landscape of the world. Anybody know what happened in 2007? Steve Jobs unleashed the beast, right? The iPhone hit the market. The world radically changed in just a few short years. And I mean, it wasn't long ago when none of us had anything called a smartphone or Wi-Fi access. Do you remember those days? Remember dial-up? Anybody remember dial-up, that horrible satanic sound? All right? And then you'd finally be getting that thing downloaded after an hour and a half, and it was only 4 megabytes, and at the end of it, someone would pick up the phone. Have any of you remember this? All right, just ruin your entire day, your entire work week, all right? And so there's this challenge that we have. And I love technology. I love iPhones. I love smartphones. I love smart devices. I've got every eye thing that there possibly is. But how many of you know that it's also complicated our life as well? that our work life and our home life has become interconnected and there's no longer any separation between the two. I read the other day that the average iPhone user touches their iPhone 2,617 times a day. So we sleep less and we work more. We have nonstop noise in our ears. We have nonstop distractions. We have a 24-hour-a-day news cycle notification. We got emails that are expected to be read and answered, and it doesn't matter if you're off work or at work or away from work. And if they can't reach you by email, then they're gonna call you. If they're a boomer, they're going to call you. If they're a millennial, they're going to DM you, all right? If they're a Gen Xer, they're going to text you, all right? And here's the thing. This is what we know. We know you have your phone on you because there's never a time in which you don't have your phone on you. And so we expect to be connected at all times. And what has happened is that we have become a pathologically busy society. Notice the language there. Pathologically busy and addicted to hurry. How many of you would say that either occasionally or often you feel overwhelmed by the pace of your life and the things of your life? And we do. German-born philosopher Byung-Chul Han, in his book, The Burnout Society, he wrote this as an observation of people in the Western world, American context. This is what he has to say about us. He said, they are too alive to die and too dead to live. Let me ask you, does that describe you today, even a little? What if the secret to the life that we crave is actually easier than we think? What if it's more simple than we think? What if the key isn't the relentless pursuit of more stuff, but here it is, but more space? More space. I want to reintroduce to you a word that many of us desperately need in our life, but we are seriously lacking in, and it's the word margin. Everybody say margin. We're going to look at that over the next couple of weeks. Let me give you this definition of margin. Margin is the space between my load and my limits. Andy Stanley talks about it as the breathing room in our life. That we have to have margin. We have to have breathing room in our life. You got to have a safe distance between you and your limit. You and the cliff of your life. How many of you know whenever you're driving down the highway at 70 miles an hour, whatever you drive on the highway, you're driving down, you want margin between you and the car in front of you, and you want margin between you and the car behind you. Nothing will make me more monkey crazy than somebody who is jumping up on my tail, all right? Driving too close to me, going down the highway, it drives me crazy. I'm going to brake check them. I'm just confessing right now, all right? It makes me mad. It makes me nervous. I want space between me and a collision. And for some of us today, we need to be reintroduced. Some of us today, we need margin between our income and our expenses. We need margin. If you got $100 and your bills are $80, you got $20 of margin. How many of you know that margin means security and safety and peace? Most people today are living beyond their margin. They're shrinking the space between their load and their limit. We need emotional margin for the relationships in our lives. We need spiritual margin, and that is time and space with God. We need margin in our time and in our schedule. I believe this marginless living creates unnecessary strain to our souls because margin is space for the best things. Margin is the space between you and the temptation. Margin is the having the emotional capacity to deal with the problems when they come your way. Margin is having nights at home with your family with your phone on do not disturb. Did y'all know that your phone has a do not disturb button on it? You can use that, all right? It's incredible, all right? Margin is having extra money at the end of the month. Margin is having space to actually have a relationship with God and a relationship with others. In your marriage, margin might be prioritizing a date night and a time simply to pour into your spouse so you're both not working in a deficit relationally. Margin is what most people don't have but desperately need. And I believe this with everything in me. I believe that the best things in life happen in the space between. It happens in the margin. And today, if you have your Bible, your YouVersion Bible app, grab your teaching guide. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 10 today. And I love this story. It's so applicable to our lives. It's the story of Mary and Martha, two sisters. And one is living a distracted life, and the other has decided for herself what she believes to be the best thing to give her space and her time to. Luke chapter 10, let's take a look at it in the Bible. The Bible says in verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha, everybody say Martha, opened her home to him, and she had a sister called Mary, everybody say Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had said. But Martha was what? Distracted. Everybody circle that in your Bible. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Just imagine this. Jesus comes to your house. Mary and Martha, two sisters. They're actually the sisters of Lazarus, who Jesus, you know, raises from the dead later on in the Gospels. And we see that they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah of the world. And he's sitting in their living room. And Mary goes in and she just sits at the feet of Jesus. And I'm sure she had tons of things to do. If you looked at her iCalendar, I'm sure it was packed. I'm sure she had a giant task list, tons of stuff to do. But in this moment, she is choosing what she believes to be the better of the two things. She does not want to miss a moment. And so she sits at the feet of Jesus and she soaks up every moment that she can get with Jesus. Now, Martha is different. Martha is freaking out because Jesus is in her house and she feels like she has to create the best guest experience that she can for him. And so Martha's working on the food and she's cleaning up and she's cleaning the good place and she's lighting the good candles and she's cleaned the toilet like 20 times because nobody wants to have God in your house with a dirty toilet seat, right? And she's brought out the good hand soap and the good hand towels and everything is set. She's setting the space. And so Jesus is in her house, but notice something. She does not have any time to spend with him. She's too distracted with everything else. And what I want you to get today is this. None of these things that she's distracted by are bad things. Matter of fact, they're all good things. But the problem is that these good things are keeping her away from the best thing. And I want you to know this today. I believe this. I believe that often it's the good things in life that keep us from the best things in life. Amen? It's the good things that keep us from the best things. I'm reading this book right now, and it is just spiritually gutting me. It's by John Mark Comer. The book has really inspired much of this series and a lot of what we're talking about. The book is titled The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And he has something to say that just rocked me. He says this. He said, hurry is the great enemy of our spiritual life. That hurry is the great enemy of our spiritual life. That we're so busy today and so distracted today that we no longer have time or space to live emotionally healthy or spiritually rich or vibrant lives. That we're so distracted by the distractions of our life that we no longer know how to be fully present in any moment with anyone. Have you ever noticed that? That we find it difficult today to be present with people. And he says the speed at which many people are living their life, even Christians, the speed, the pace of our life is not just unchristian. He says it's antichrist, which means this, that we're filling our life up with so many things that we're missing out on the best things that God has in store for us. When you read the scriptures and you look at that, you got to ask this question. What is the highest value in the kingdom of God? What's the highest value in Jesus' kingdom? If you read the scriptures, you would say the highest value is love. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus replied. He said this. He said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. He said, this is the first and the greatest commandment. He says, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself.
If you read 1 Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 13 is the famous love chapter. It says love is kind, love is patient, love is all these different descriptions on love. But I want you to see what verse 13 says. It says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And finish it with me. But the what? The greatest of these is what? Love. How many of you know that love is time consuming? That love demands time. And it seems today that so many of us, we don't really have time to love. If the greatest commandment of all is that we would love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, let me ask you, what kind of time are you investing in growing in your intimate relationship with God? What kind of time are you investing in loving your neighbor or loving others? What kind of, here's the reality. I think so many of us, we don't even have time for real conversations anymore, even with the people that we love. Angela and I will go out on our date day and we'll sit down, and so often we'll be sitting there at a restaurant and kind of look around, and you'll see couples and you'll see families, and no one is actually talking. Everyone is just simply doing this. And the guys looking at SportsCenter and checking the scores, and the wife's playing Candy Crush or the Facebook or I don't know, something like that. And the kids are watching some kind of Netflix thing, and nobody's having a conversation. We don't have time for real conversations anymore. And so many people, even whenever I talk to them about their relationship with God, I'll ask them, say, tell me about your devotion time. Tell me about your time in prayer. Tell me about your time in the Word of God. And so many people respond this way: I just don't feel like I have time. I don't have time during the day. I haven't made it a priority. I don't have time in God's Word. I don't have time in prayer. We don't have time for that. And yet, isn't it interesting that we touch our iPhone over 2,600 times a day, and yet we don't have time to read the Word of God, which is so easy, especially through YouVersion Bible app, or to grow in what we say are the most important relationships of our life. Many people today don't even have time to go to church because their lives are so crowded and busy and overscheduled. And kids are in this and in that and in that and that. And literally we're raising a generation of children that are so stressed by the time they're in middle school because the amount of work that they have to do and extracurricular things and things that we're doing and all that, they're so incredibly stressed. We're teaching our children to be about production and busyness. We don't have time to grow in our relationship with God. I think the average attendance in church today is 1.2 times a month. That's a regular attender in the American church today. I mean, who has time for church? Who has time to love our neighbor? Who has time? And this is just kind of what I've discovered in God speaking into my life, is this: I can't love what I say I value the most in a hurry. I can't love God in a hurry. I can't love my wife in a hurry. I can't love my kids on a stopwatch. I've discovered this. This is just self-confession. I am horrible at loving people when I have somewhere else to be or something else I feel like I need to do. I'm horrible at loving people whenever I'm like that. Have you ever had this conversation? I've been so guilty of this because my brain just automatically fires to the next thing and fires to the next thing and fires to the next thing, that you can be in a conversation with someone and their body language is already moving on. Right? They're already turned away from you. They're already trying to walk. Have you ever asked somebody, hey, how you doing? And what do they say? They'll say, like, hey, what's up? And they keep walking. How many of you know, they don't want to know what's up. You want to rock someone's world, tell them what's up. Just turn around and go, hey, well, I'm so glad that you asked. Let's have a conversation. They'll be like, I got, and their body language will turn. They got to go. Why? No one has time for real conversations. Try to pray with a hurried heart. Hurry and love are incompatible to one another. The best things, how many of you know, the best things take time. It takes slowing down. It demands space and margin. It demands that we remove the distractions. It demands that we push to the side good things in order to focus on the best things. In his book, 3 Mile an Hour God, Kosuke Koyama wrote this, and I read this this week, and man, it so spoke to my heart. He says this, he said, God walks slowly because he is love. If he is not love, he would have gone much faster. Love has its speed. It is an inner speed. It is a spiritual speed. It is a different kind of speed from the technological speed to which we are accustomed. It is slow, yet it is Lord over all other speeds, since it is the speed of love. The best things in life are incompatible with a hurried soul. Love, joy, and peace. None of those things are birthed from hurry. Maybe realize that when margin decreases, love, joy, and peace decrease. When margin decreases, stress, anxiety, and tension increase. When margin decreases, relational intimacy decreases. The best things in life are born out of the space between our load and our limit. And yet so many of us, we are so addicted and consumed and obsessed with accomplishing the urgent. And I'm going to let me just admit, I'm in recovery. I'm a recovering busy addict. I'm a recovering next level addict, all right? Always next, always next. Give me another mountain to climb. Give me another goal to crush. I'm addicted to that. But so often, we can consume our lives with the good things that we miss out on the best things that God has in store for us. Mary and Martha are in this situation. Verse 40, it's kind of sad and yet it's funny at the same time. I love this. Verse 40 says, but Martha, excuse me, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him, she came to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? She got some attitude. And I love this. Tell her to help me. Exclamation point. Do you see the punctuation? Tell her to help me. Martha is absolutely convinced that what she is doing is the most important thing to do. And every time she walks past that living room and she sees Mary with her lazy tail sitting down, just enjoying Jesus, just talking to Jesus, I can just imagine she gave her the stink eye every single time she walked by. She's like looking at Mary, she's on the backside of Jesus, she's like, you get up. Mary's like, get up. She texts her and she just ignores it, all right? She's angry and finally she blows up. Jesus, you tell her to do something. Tell her to do something. Listen, some of you are just like Martha. Sounds weird to say, but I'm a recovering Martha, all right? Because you are convinced that life is all about production, that busy equals success. And the truth is, according to all of the world's metrics, you might be killing it, but you might also be killing yourself, and you might also be killing your marriage at the sake of your career. And you might also be killing your relationship with your children. And you might also be killing your relationship with Jesus. She looks at Jesus, she's like, tell her to get up and get busy. We got things to do. And I love Jesus' response. Verse 41, I absolutely love it. Jesus looks at her and says, Martha, Martha. Like if he could have inserted a bless your heart, I would have been so happy right there. Martha, bless your heart, girl. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. Otherwise, the Brinker paraphrase, you got a lot of crazy going on up in your head. All right, you're freaking out about a lot of stuff right now. But look what he says. But only one thing is needed. Everybody say one thing. It says that Mary has chosen, notice this, what is better. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Here's what you have to understand. The choice is actually yours. No one is making you say yes to everything. No one is making you say yes to everyone. I believe that no is probably one of the most powerful, you know, answers that you can actually learn to say in your life. Because it's not dictated by them liking you or them you proving yourself to someone. It's not driven by, sometimes you got to learn how to say no to many things to say yes to the most important things. The choice is actually yours. No one is holding a gun to your head, making you work 50, 60, 70 hours a week. Some of you are like, well, you don't understand my financial pressures and you don't understand my boss. And this is just a season. And I remember telling my wife that for so long. This is just a season. And she's like, this season has lasted too long. This season has been years and years and years and years. And the choice is yours. And scripture is saying that if you choose what is right, Jesus says, it will not be taken away from you. Yeah, you might not make as much money. And yet you might not have everything, but you can choose what is better. And so are you going to live a distracted life, or are you going to live a decided life? Are you going to chase after more stuff, or are you going to chase after more space? I love this quote from John Ortberg in his book, The Life You've Always Wanted. He says, For many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it. We'll just skim our lives instead of actually living them. And I want you to see what's at stake here today. It's not just your emotional health. It is your soul health. When God made you, he made you body, mind, and spirit. And the whole of you is what hangs in the balance. And if as God's people, we don't choose what is better, as the scripture says, we might gain the entire world and yet lose our own soul. And I'm not talking there about losing your salvation that is fixed in the righteousness of Christ and the finished work of Jesus upon the cross. I'm saying this, you might gain the world and yet lose who you were meant to be. You might lose the marriage that God desires for you to have and the relationships that God desires for you to have and the soul health and the mental health and the emotional health and the spiritual health and the financial health. Because you're chasing after something that is driven far more by your goals and dreams and ego than it is by God's goals and God's dreams for your life. I want to challenge you this year. I'm not saying give up on your dreams. I'm saying go after your dreams. I'm not saying don't work hard. I believe that Christians ought to be the best workers, the best employers, the best employees, the most creative thinkers. I believe that we ought to do excellent, excellent work. But I think we also need to make sure that we are being driven by this desire that says we're going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and trust that all these other things will be added to you. But so often what happens is we chase all of these other things and we miss what's most important in the kingdom of God. So I want to challenge you today to possibly this is God's way of saying, you know what, slow down. Because there's a better way. What if this year, what if you would value being over doing and purpose over performance and relationships over task lists? I want you to see what Jesus says in Luke and Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. He says this. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. Does that describe you today? Maybe not because of the pace of your life externally, but maybe it's just because of the distractions in your own mind and in your own heart. It doesn't have to be external pace. It can be internal pace as well. And God is saying there's a better way, but if you are weary and burdened, I want you to come to me, Jesus says. Come to me if you're stressed out. Come to me if you're overwhelmed. I just think this speaks today. Come to me if you're a single mom. Come to me if you're a single parent. Come to me if you're a business owner that's living for the next level. Come to me, family without financial margin. Come to me, you know, spouse of a deployed Marine or soldier. Come to me, family without emotional, you know, emotional margin. Come to me, those who are overwhelmed by the circumstances of their life. Come to me if you feel. And Jesus gives two examples there. I think they're brilliant. He says, come to me if you're weary, and come to me if you're burdened. And we're going to unpack this verse later on in our series, but let me just say something about those two words. He says, come to me if you're weary or if you're burdened. The word weary has to do with the pace of life. You're weary because of the pace of life, and the pace of your life is not healthy, joyful, or sustainable. You might be able to live at that pace and at that speed for a short period of time, but how many of you know you can't redline a car all the time? It'll blow up. You can't redline your life at all times. You're going to blow up. And it might be your mental, it might be emotional, it might be your physical, it might be your life, it might be your relationships, but maybe you're running at a pace that is not healthy, joyful, or sustainable. Jesus says, if you're tired, then come to me. And then he says, if you're burdened, the word burden has to do not with pace of life, but with the weight of life. Maybe some of you today, you're just so burdened by the circumstances of your life and the struggles and the difficulties. And you're like, when is it going to get easier? And it just doesn't seem to get easier. And the burden is so heavy. That's why another scripture says, I want you to cast all of your cares, your weight. I want you to cast it on me, because this is what I want you to know. I care for you. And you're not built to carry this weight. You're not built to carry this life. Jesus says, come to me if you're weary and burdened, and this is what he promises. He says, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will, I love that, there's confidence, there's promise, you will in me find rest for your souls. And that's what we're talking about in this series, rest for your souls. It's the ability to have peace and confidence and rest. Now, I'm not talking about vacation rest. And listen, I love vacation rest, all right? I love toes in the sand. I love the water. I live for that. I love being away and taking some vacation rest. But how many of you have ever gone on vacation and then you're coming back from vacation and you are more exhausted from your vacation than you were before you even left? Maybe you needed more than just salt water and salt air. Maybe you need to reconnect with what's called Sabbath rest. Maybe you need to reconnect with your ability to rest in Christ and to cast your cares upon him and to trust in him. And you need to relearn the rhythms of what the Bible calls Sabbath. And we're going to talk about that in the next few weeks. Jesus says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I got to say, when Jesus said that, that was so significant. Because Jesus' invitation to life was unlike any other rabbi or world religion, religious leader, you know, what they were offering. And it's radically different than what worldly success is offering. Because Jesus is saying this, that life, it's not about speeding up and getting it all done and climbing the next mountain and working harder, and you don't have to work harder to earn his favor or his love. But it's actually the ability to be able to slow down and to create space and margin and to step into the rhythms of grace. It's about being able to be still and confident in who he is and whose you are. It's about centering your life not around your goals and your dreams, but around his. And that's why Jesus said, I want you to learn this from me. And we're going to see the rhythm of Jesus' life was so interesting that Jesus was constantly pulling away from the crowd and pulling away from the distractions and pressing in to space and margin and time in his relationship with God and in his relationship with others. So today, very simply, I just want to ask you this. Is it possible that we need to slow down enough and make the space necessary for the better things in life? Not just the good things, but for the best things. Could it be that the Spirit of God today is saying, you know what, just slow down. I'm not saying give up. I'm not saying, you know, cast aside your dreams and your goals. I'm not saying don't go after that next mark and go after that. I'm just saying don't do it at the expense of your soul. Don't do it at the expense of your love relationship with the God who created you. And definitely don't do it at the expense of the key relationships in your own life, especially to your family, to your spouse, to your children, and to the ministry that God has called every single one of you to. Would you pray with me today? Father, our prayer today is just simply that you would help us to identify the areas of our life where we have shrunk the space between our load and our limit. God, it might be financial, it might be emotional, it might be in our time and our pace of life, it might be in our relationships with others, it might be in our relationship with you. God, we need margin. We believe the best things in life are birthed out of that space. And God, we are guilty so often of not making space for you, not making space for the most important things. And so God, today, maybe we just need to admit that. We need to rededicate ourselves to creating the space necessary for us to grow in our relationship with you. Maybe we need to recommit to making the space necessary to grow in our relationships with others and with your church and with your purpose. And God, I pray today that you would just teach us the power of margin and space and Sabbath and Lord, that we would be reminded of something that we sang earlier, Lord, that even when we can't see you, you're working. And even, Lord, when we're sleeping, you're working. And even when we're not working, you're still working. And you're working all things out for good to them that love you and are called according to your purposes. And God, I pray that we would learn in these next weeks to trust you more and not lean on our own understanding, but God, to learn how to rest in you. I pray that you would just restore to us our health, our mental health, our emotional health, our spiritual health, God. God, I pray today that we would just recommit our hearts and our lives to you in this way and give you all the praise and all the glory for what you're doing and what you're going to do in the days to come. We love you, Jesus. We give you all the praise. Amen.